It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. This is my show. The quality will go up this week because Skype is actually working properly. And joining me this week is Mr. Alex Edwards of No Fix Wrestling Abode. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm excited for this one. I've been looking forward to this one since we saw the cards announced. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, today we are looking at the Abdullah the Butcher retirement / Giant Baba's 20th anniversary memorial show from Raigoku Sumo Hall with 8,000 people in attendance. No wrestling company organized this. This was purely off the backs of all the companies in Japan working together for the good of the industry to pay respects to two great men of the Japanese wrestling industry. Alex, I should ask you, first of all, what are your thoughts on Giant Baba and what are your thoughts on Abdullah the Butcher?
I mean, obviously, both guys had a huge influence on the Japanese scene, and it wouldn't be where it is today without either of them. And so a show like this, where it is, you know, like a tribute memorial to both of them, I think is something that's a really nice thing to see, especially having all the major companies in Japan coming together to put the show on. I mean, that's not something you would see in America, for instance. You wouldn't see a Ric Flair memorial show where WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, or Impact, everyone all come together to put on one show together. It just wouldn't happen. And so I think the fact that you have all you have here on this show, you have New Japan represented, you have All Japan, you have Dragon Gate, you have Big Japan, you have everybody all coming together, I think it's a really cool idea. And I think it's a really nice thing to do for people who shaped the business in that country in the way that it is today.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to find out more thoughts on my thoughts on the legacy of Giant Baba, I'm actually writing a series of pieces for Steel Chair Magazine and Vulture Hound at the moment. First article is up there where I look at Giant Baba's wrestling career and how All Japan started all the way up until the first Exodus, really. The second and third parts of that, where I talk to a few people who have worked for King's Road companies and promoters and a few other people as well. That's coming in a few weeks. Hopefully there'll be another one up this week. Also coming up this week on Steel Chair, unrelated, but my five favorite Joshi tag teams. There's a piece on there as well, as we have new WWE Tag Team Women's Champions. Now, let us get to the card itself. As we said, Raigoku Hall, 8,800 capacity for the venue. And it was interesting because it's like, this is very much an All Japan kind of card. It was very much JWA throwback to the 1960s, All Japan from the 1970s. It was an All Japan style ring and ring mat, and they never worked Sumo Hall that much. wasn't big enough to fill Budokan, but it was big enough for Raigoku. So, yeah, it was an interesting show. I'm just kind of surprised that they didn't run it at Budokan, because that would be the obvious thing, but I'm not sure if Budokan's ready for them at the moment. But we'll see. So the opening match was a battle royal with a special referee of Mighty Inoue, who did a lot of the matches on this particular card, actually. And it was won by Mitsu Momota, who defeated Abdullah Kobayashi, Joel Deaton, Kim Duk, Masahito Kakihara, Masaya Inoue, Mens Teo, that's Terry Boy from Michinoku Pro back in the day, Ryuji Hijikata, Stoka Ishikawa, Taman Honda, Taru, Tsuchiki Kikuchi, and Yusi Arano and Yuta Ajima in 7 minutes and 11 seconds. And let's be honest, they were all quite old.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm just going to take this on a very quick tangent quickly, because I've just looked up. I've got my TV in front of me still playing the show after the main event. I've just looked up to see Johnny Ace on the screen, complete with a little WWE logo in the corner. That just threw me for a second. But yeah,
we'll explain that at the end.
So yeah, I mean, this was what it was, really. It was a battle royal to just get a bunch of guys on the show. I mean, as a match, it wasn't great. As you said, everyone's pretty old at this point.
I mean, to be fair to them, there's some guys from BJW and obviously All Japan. I mean, guys like Joel Deaton, who's like a legend in All Japan. Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that everyone was sort of incapable of moving. there were some guys in there who did well. But I think on the whole, this was, when you call it a memorial battle royal, you sort of know what to expect.
Yeah, it was just fun. It was fun to see some old faces and some new faces, and Yeah, it was all right for what it did. 7 minutes and 11 seconds was about the right length. I don't think we could have stood that for much longer.
Yeah, I mean, you got a nice spot with Stalker Ichikawa coming down, eliminating himself by slipping off the top rope. Yeah, Abdullah Kobayashi somehow gets busted open, because of course he does.
Because it's Abdullah Kobayashi and that's what he does.
Yeah. You had, basically, this match was a lot of sort of big dog piles on people to pin and eliminate them. It's like, right, whose turn is it to go now? Right, everyone on, he's out. Who's next? Everyone on, you're out.
Yeah, essentially, this is essentially an All Japan Battle Royal, because in Japan, pinfalls and submissions count in Battle Royals. So you have a tendency to get someone to get a sunset flip on anybody. Everyone piles on to help the pinfall, then rolls them over to get the person who pinned them in the first place on. No one dare lay down for the first 5 minutes. No one's taking bumps. Because they might get eliminated by accident. So it is kind of, it's just fun. It's just hilarious, just fun.
Yeah, and it was nice to see a lot of these guys in there.
Definitely was. All right, then, move on to the next match, which is an 8-man tag match, which kind of summed up what was going on there, really. We had Naoya Nomura, Ren Narita from New Japan, Tomoki Honma, obviously from New Japan, Yuji Okabayashi, and they defeated Daichi Hashimoto, Kazushi Miyamoto, Takuya Nomura, and Tomohiko Hashimoto in 8 minutes and 36 seconds. What were your thoughts on this one, Alex?
Yeah, I thought this was pretty decent. I mean, I think Ren Narita looked really good in this match. I think he is one of the young lions from New Japan who is really coming into his own now. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on excursion very soon. And this match sort of, obviously he's in there with a bunch of guys who really know what they're doing. And so that helped, but he looked really good. I was sort of thrown off by Kazushi Miyamoto coming out dressed as Scott Steiner. That was a bit weird. But yeah, overall this was a decent sort of 8-man match. It's what you'd expect from a Japanese undercard 8-man tag match.
Yeah,
everything was solid. Everything was done well, and you get a nice ending with Okabayashi getting the torture rack on Nomura. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, strong BJ going over strong, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it did what it said on the tin, and it was nice to see, like, you know, it was all of these stars from different companies, and they worked together so well. So it was interesting to see how that developed as well.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's nice to see, as I said earlier, all these companies working together and putting on matches like this. Like, it's also good for someone like Narita, being still sort of training as he is, to be able to work with people from different companies, people from different styles, and get the experience like this where, you know, he's getting to wrestle as many different types of wrestlers as possible.
Yeah, definitely. Right then, next match, it was an 8-man tag street 8-man tag team Street Fighter Bunkhouse death match.
Featuring... I mean, when the third match on the show is a death match, you know something's going right.
Atsushi Inita, Hideki Hosaka, Hideki Suzuki, and Kendo Gashin defeated the Great Kajika, Hikaru Saito, Matsuyu Nagai, and Shugi Ishikawa. Guys from Wing, guys from FMW, guys from BGW doing the things that they do best. Screaming and bleeding, mainly. Atsushi Inita trying to pile drive somebody through a table and completely missing was hilarious.
To be fair, he got sort of on the edge of it, and the table, obviously being a Japanese table, just didn't break at all.
Yeah, it wasn't good, but it was only 6 minutes long.
This was a thing where, like, I couldn't help but just get hyped up for Wild Thing on an Inita's entrance, and from that moment on, I was in. I think this was basically just, Atsushi Inita is really cool. Here's him in a match.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was what it was. Obviously, it wasn't like a 5-star classic, but it was fun. And they were doing the thing that you know them for.
I suppose that's true, yeah. Interesting. I was going to say, Atsushi Inita was a black sheep of the Baba family. He was kind of ostracized for starting FMW and setting up in competition to All Japan. And as well, Baba did not like garbage wrestling. So it was nice that he was invited, first of all. To come and celebrate his former master.
Yeah, that is nice. And I mean, we got Freddy Krueger on a card here, so that's something.
I was trying to think, who was it? Who was Freddy Krueger? It must have been Hosaka.
Yeah, I'm not sure who was under the mask, but he was there.
It must have been Hideki Hosaka. I'm just looking up on cage match.
No, because I mean Hosaka was part of this match separately. Sort of Freddy Krueger was just there in Onita's corner.
May well have been Doug Gilbert then, the original.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, the original Freddy Krueger was Tommy Gilbert, Eddie and Doug's dad.
Okay.
And he wrestled in Memphis as a babyface.
Yeah.
And then in Wing in the early 90s, Doug Gilbert took the gimmick of Freddy Krueger. And Eddie Gilbert also started tagging in Wing as Freddy Krueger as well. And there was a bizarre tag team tournament where they both demasked, because Doug did like a shoot every once in a while. Doug and Eddie demasked. They cut a massive promo about how Wing was rubbish and walked out the building and never worked there again.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So it may well have been Doug. They may have shipped him over for it. But it doesn't mention the cage match for it.
Yeah, I mean, you had your guitar shots, you had your barbed wire boards, you had your tables, everything in there. And then it ends with, you know, a nice promo at the end with Onita basically thanking Bubba. And yeah.
Yeah, it was all right, really. Yeah, fair enough then. The next match was Taichi, Taki Michinoku and Yoshinobu Kanemura. They defeated Masanobu Fuchi, Yoshiaki Fujiwara, and Yumi Aoyagi in 9 minutes and 43 seconds. Now, if we're talking about old, the team running against Tsukigun had a combined age of a half-life. Fuchi's been around forever. He was big influence on him was the Dynamite Kid, hence he wears tights very similar to the Dynamite Kid did. And he was actually one of his mentors back in the early days of All Japan for Fuchi. Yoshiaki Fujiwara is friggin' Yoshiaki Fujiwara. He's still one of the most dangerous people on the planet, and he's like 90. And Yumi Egawa, again, long-standing old Japan wrestler, and a lot of fun with these guys watching them, because they can all still go. This is the remarkable thing. They're all old, but they're really good. Fuchi still wrestles for All Japan from time to time, and obviously, we know Taka, Kanemura, and Tai Chi. What are your thoughts on this, Alex?
I thought it was fun. I think it was basically, here's Suzuki-gun being heels. And you had all the usual, you know, delaying tactics. You had the usual dirty hitting him behind the ref's back, the getting out the ring, the whole thing. It was fun. And you had your moments where Fujiwara and Fuchi sort of shone. They got to hit their moves. You got a Fujiwara armbar in there. And it was all just, it was a good time. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought so as well. It was possibly one of my favourite matches on the card, I have to say, up until the main event. But it was very, very good for what it was.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that was the thing with most of the matches on this show. The main event aside, you didn't really have any sort of amazing matches, but it was just sort of, here's these guys that you remember, and here's them hitting their big spots, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, that was it, really. There you go. All right, the next match for me, for us, was for Los Ignorables de Japón, the current IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Bushi. Well, one from the heavyweight and one from the junior, Bushi and Sanada. They defeated Sweeper from All Japan, Jake Lee and Koji Iwamoto, and Ayuti Yoshida and Shota Umino from the New Japan Dojo and the K Dojo and New Japan Dojo. They split between the two. 8 minutes and 13 seconds in a match. Very unusually refereed by Red Shoes Uno, who is of course Shota Umino's dad. He normally stays away from matches with Shota in, so that was a bit interesting. But I guess he wanted to say goodbye to his old boss, because he started off in All Japan, not New Japan, and it was interesting seeing him wearing an All Japan coloured wrestling shirt for the first time in about 10 years.
Yeah, I noticed he was there, and I thought it was strange as well. I was trying to keep an eye on his face as Shota was just getting the absolute crap kicked out of him this whole match. And I don't know, he managed to stay in character quite well. He didn't break. I mean, I went into this match basically feeling sorry for Yoshida and Umino, because it just seemed like they're just going to get killed and all the other guys are going to look good. But actually, it was pretty even across the board. I mean, you have everyone gangs up on LIJ to start off. and then you sort of get the showdown with Sweeper and Yoshida and Umino. You had some like cool judo stuff in there from Iwamoto. You get like Bushi with the mist, you get the paradise lock, all the fun stuff. And I think Shota especially had a really good showing. I think obviously for the most part he was just selling throughout, but he looked really, really good. He looked like he sort of hung with these guys. And again, like I said about Ren Narita earlier, I think it just shows that the current sort of crop of New Japan Young Lions are really good. And a lot of them are getting to that level where they're ready to go for their excursion. They're getting ready to move up to that next level. So I thought this was, yeah, another fun match. I'm basically saying that about every match on this show. It was really fun, but it was.
Well, I mean, me and Alex Watt were talking last week about how good Ayota Yoshida and Shota Umino were in that non-title match with Sonata and Evil the New Beginning show. They were really, really good, and they're showing to be really, really good. They've been telling a story with them pretty much since World Tag League, of these two guys who have been trying to figure out how to get the magic to work, and they've started to get the magic to work, and they nearly pulled out a non-title victory over the tag champs. They're doing good stuff. They're telling good stories, and it clearly that Jedo sees something in them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think especially Umino is going to be a big, big star in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think Yoshida's going to be a pretty big name too, I have to say. Probably lacks a little in the charisma department, but his like technique, he's going to be a glue wrestler for a long time. He's going to have work.
Yeah, he's definitely solid. And I think I'm just wondering how the sort of K-Jojo sort of influence will change things. I don't know, because at the moment he's sort of in that weird sort of half and half, like he's being treated as a young lion, but then he's not. Got like the different gear, he's got the sort of the more of a gimmick with him. He's sort of in a weird half and half place, and I'm wondering if that's going to affect him at all.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes next, because he doesn't necessarily have to end up at New Japan Pro Wrestling at all, does he?
No, I mean, he could go straight back to K-Dojo and work there for a while. Obviously, they've got connections with other companies, and so, yeah, he could end up anywhere.
Yeah, and we'll see where he develops. In fact, there's a similar kind of system that's worked into our main event, and we'll talk about that later. But this match was really, really good, and we both of us clearly thoroughly enjoyed it. The next match up was kind of a dream tag team match. Masayuki Mochizuki and Shun Skywalker of Mochizuki Dojo from Dragon Gate. They wrestled Jinsei Shinzaki and Naimuchi Marufuji. Jinsei Shinzaki, current president of Sendai Girls, as well as being a wrestling legend, formerly of Michinoku Pro, All Japan Pro Wrestling, and the WWE, or WWF as it was then. And Naimuchi Marufuji is Naimuchi Marufuji, Ace of Noah. 10 minutes and 2 seconds of a thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable match, which showed off all of these companies working together and doing such a brilliant job, because this match was just so good. What did you think of it,
Alex?
Yeah,
I mean, Hakushi can still go.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, my first note here, and I said this in the Twitter chat we have as well, that this is such a random match. You know, it's not a match you'd expect to see where you've got Shinzaki and Marufuji and then some Dragon Gate guys in there, but it was really, really good. It was really, really good. I mean, I think this, again, we were saying, aside of the main event, this may have been my favorite match on the show. It was just, everyone looked great. I mean, Shinzaki, I wasn't sure what to expect coming in, but he has still got it. He hit, you know, springboard Mongolian chops. He hit an old school tightrope walk around half of the ring. He was on it. He did everything. And one thing with that old school around the ring, he jumped from the apron to the top rope in one go.
Yeah.
Climb up, just jumped. And it was just really fun. Shun Skywalker is a guy that I think is going to be huge in the future. He's obviously doing big things in Dragon Gate at the moment, but I think he's potentially, if he went elsewhere, he could do really, really big things. He's really, really good. Marufuji is Marufuji. He's always fantastic.
Yeah.
And Mochizuki as well held his own in there and was really good as well. It's just everyone looked good and everyone shined and everyone came out of it looking you know, like absolute stars.
Which is really what you want in these kind of situations. Speaking of which, forgot to mention this. Sweeper, Jake Lee and Koji Umoto actually wrestled for the All Japan World Tag Team Championships today. They lost to Strong BJ, but they you know, they just give you an idea of what level all of these guys were at. They're all top draw guys for their respective companies.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's another thing that makes this such a cool show is that it is, you know, the top names from each place. You get Tanahashi on there, you get Marufuji on there, you get Miyahara on there, you get all these top guys from every company coming together. It's not like they've just sent, oh, you know, well, I guess we have to make an appearance, so we'll send some mid-card random. It's like, no, we're going to take this seriously. We're sending our top guys, and we're going to really make this something special.
Yeah, yeah, it's just interesting how this has all played out, so... We will see what happens next with those guys, because that was a lot of fun. But they're all going back to their own companies. You've got somebody going back to Noah, somebody's going back to freelancing, somebody going back to Dragon Gate. Right, the next matchup was a six-man tag, Burning Wild, Yun Akiyama and Takeuchi Omori, and Teo Kia, they defeated Osumu Nishimori, Satoshi Kojima, and Yuji Nagata in a mix-and-match of All Japan greats and New Japan greats and all legends who've all worked in All Japan at some point, and some of whom mostly have worked in New Japan at some point, one way or another. I think you've got, I can't remember how many Triple Crown champions you've got in the mismatch, but I think all of them won the Triple Crown at one point. But yeah, it was, again, just fun. I love Takeuchi Omori because he's just a guy who looks like he's going to turn heel at any second and never does. He's got some of the best facial expressions in wrestling, and I love watching that guy wrestle. Kia is just a hard bastard. That's all he really is. And Osumu Nishimura turns up, looks like a used car salesman, actually one of the best wrestlers you'll ever see. So it's just and in Yuji Nagata and Satoshi Kojima and Yohei Akiyama, and yeah, it was just fun. Akiyama's about the best tag wrestler there's ever lived. Him and Arn Anderson. There you go. Those are two guys you could probably rely on to have the best tag matches you could ever see. And this was so much fun to watch. 12 minutes and 32 seconds. What did you reckon, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, here basically have an inter-promotional dad fight. And it was really, really good. I mean, again, these are all guys that, you know, they're all legends. You know who everyone is. You know all their main spots. And they can all still go.
Like, yeah.
It's not a case of, you know, oh, they haven't been doing it for a while, so yeah, I remember who they are, but they're past it. These guys are still really, really, really good as they are, and they're hitting everything perfectly. I think there was only one moment I noticed in here where something went a little bit wrong, and that was Kojima went for like the machine gun chops on Taiyo Kea, and he took one and bumped off of it, and then Kojima picked it back up. But other than that, everything was hit perfectly. You had your Koji lariats, you had the little Tenzan shout out with some Mongolian chops in there.
Yeah.
You had Akiyama hitting the exploders, you had your Nagata lock, you had everything, and it was just really a really good time. And I thought it just proved that even though these guys are up there in age, there is so much you can still do with them if you book them correctly and if you put them in there with the right people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Yun Akiyama, of course, is also booking All Japan Pro Wrestling. He's the big boss there of creative, so you know, he probably had a fair amount to do with putting this card together.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean that also shows the sort of lack of ego there, where he's put that card together but he hasn't put himself in the main event.
No,
he's realized, right, we need our young guys up. Well, I say young guys,
relatively
there,
young,
but
guys.
We have our current stars, I should say, at the top of the card, and everyone else is on the undercard but still gets their good spot.
Yeah, definitely. Right then, the next matchup was Dos Garris and Mil Máscaras with a combined
Speaking
of combined age of somewhere in the region of about 160, and I'm not kidding. they defeated Kazayashi and Nozawa Runagai in 11 minutes and 6 seconds. I will say there is a special place in heaven reserved for Kazayashi and Nozawa Runagai for the bumping they did in this match, because they made those two old bastards look like $1 million.
Yeah, this was all them.
Mil Máscaras you've probably heard of before, and you've probably heard us whine about him because he's the most selfish wrestler aside from Tiger Jeet Singh we've ever come across. And Dos Garris is Alberto Del Rio's dad. So that gives you an idea of where you're coming from with him too.
I think that sort of downplays Dos Caras' sort of stardom and influence.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah. I shouldn't. Yeah, it does downplay it. I should point out they are both massive stars in Japan. Thanks to their ties to Giant Baba in the 1970s. That's the reason why they're there. I shouldn't really have pointed that. We do moan about them. Well, not Karras. Karras is all right. Mascaris is a pain in the ass. But we do moan about them a lot because of things we've seen in the past and things they've done in the past. But to be fair to them, they are huge stars in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this match was... It was interesting to see how much can be done. Basically, Hayashi and Nosawa here were wrestling broomsticks.
Yes.
And it really... it was the definition of, you know, that old cliche. And it really showed when you have someone like those two who know what they're doing and can just sell, it shows that you actually can bring about a good match from just getting nothing from your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, Karras could go a little bit, and he tried.
Yeah, no, that's true.
To be fair to him, but Mills kind of like just on the last rung of the ladder.
I mean, he's 76 years old.
Yes, and he attempted to cross body from the top rope and landed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Without damaging himself.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting one to watch. I mean, right from the start, you have Nosawa comes out with a Nitro t-shirt on. So that was something.
Yeah, we should point out Kaz Hayashi, former member of the Nitro roster.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if that was some sort of little in-joke.
Yes.
With the fact that he was teamed with Hayashi. but yeah, I mean, Mil Máscaras, 76 years old, gets walked to the ring and sort of has trouble getting in. But then you have Dos Caras, he's 68, but he comes out and he has to flip through the ropes to get in, so he's still going.
Aye.
Máscaras, leopard print bodysuit and cape.
Yes.
There were some fashion choices
for you.
But yeah, I mean... But yeah, you said about Dos Caras still being able to go. So yeah, it started off with some really nice sort of just submission stuff, like a really nice rolling octopus submission, a surfboard. And he's just basically, he's doing all that sort of creative groundwork. So that's the sort of thing you can do at any age, really. Once you're comfortable on the mat, you're good to go. But it really was, as you said, it was just Nosawa and Hayashi bumping and bumping and bumping and just doing everything to make these guys look good.
Yeah.
And they managed it.
They did.
It was a lot of very sort of awkward, in quote marks, running lariats and running cross bodies. But they bumped, they made it look good.
It's a bit like walking football for older people, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, you had a lot of teases of things. Like, I think they teased a couple of planches to the outside. Obviously, didn't hit any.
No.
But
no.
You have your big high spot to end it with. 76-year-old Mil Máscaras going to the top rope and hitting a diving crossbody to both guys at 76 years old.
It's impressive.
Did I mention that he was 76?
Yes. Yes, you did mention he was 76. I was slightly concerned things might go snap.
Yeah, it seemed like it, but he hit it and it seemed okay. He managed to walk to the back. He was fine afterwards. Yeah.
And then Dos Caras did a flip over the top rope to get home.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone came out of it looking, I don't know, reputable in a way.
68 is the new 40. Send him after the Never Open Weight Championship. That's what I'm saying.
Can you imagine?
Okay, then. Recommending match 7.42 from the cage match units was the main event. Daisaki Sekimoto of BJW and All Japan, current All Japan World Tag Team Champion and current BJW Strong Style Champion, tagging with Kento Miyahara, the current Triple Crown Champion. Oh, I point out, did have all three of the Triple Crown belts on his possession for the day for the glory of Giant Baba. And they defeated Yoshi Tatsu and Hiroshi Tanahashi in 24 minutes and 24 seconds in a thoroughly entertaining main event worthy match, which showed off all four guys and their strengths. For those of you who haven't come across Miyahara before, He actually comes from Kintsugi Society's Diamond Ring Dojo and went through that process before catching on with All Japan in 2013. He's a four-time Triple Crown champion. We've talked about Daisuke Sekimoto a lot in recent months because we covered those BJW shows at the beginning of the year. Hiroshi Tanahashi, I think you might be a bit aware of. And of course, Yoshitatsu is now a freelancer who works mainly in All Japan Pro Wrestling after his departure from New Japan about a year and a half ago. And actually, to be fair to him, is way better now than he was a year and a half ago. And probably the reason why he lost his job with New Japan, because he wasn't cutting the mustard anymore. That wasn't necessarily all of his fault, thanks to an AJ Styles botched Styles clash. But he is looking a lot better than he used to, I have to admit, because he was pretty dreadful, and now he's actually quite good. What do you think of this, Alex?
I mean, one of these guys is not like the others. but no, yeah, you're right, to be fair. Yoshitatsu, he... Like, when this card was announced, this was the match that got both of us, I think, really interested.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was the match that sort of made us think, right, we need to review this show when it happens. Mm. But Yoshitatsu sort of stuck out as, right, so you've got, at the time, IWGP champion Hiroshi Tanahashi. You have your Triple Crown champion, Kenta Miyahara. You've got your, you know, just general...
Well, BJW Strong Style Champion.
Yeah, well, your BJW Strong Style Champion, general big freelance name in Sekimoto. And then there's Yoshitatsu. And it's like, right, they just needed someone in here to take a pinfall.
Yes, true. However, having said that...
But, to be fair to him, he was actually good in this match. And he actually held his own. And he did well. I mean... I found it funny at the start that he was the only guy that didn't get to come out to his own music. He was just sort of running down to the ring to Tanahashi's song. But, you know, he did well. He had his moments in the match. He hit his stuff. He made everyone else's stuff look good. And he did well. I think, like you said, that time he's now spent in All Japan and sort of doing a bit of freelancing has really helped him get back on his game.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it was years ago that he was sort of pegged as a potential top name in New Japan, and he went to WWE instead and sort of, you know, did nothing of note and then came back and did nothing of note really in New Japan.
Yeah.
But now he's gone away, he's sort of collected himself a bit, and he started to pick things up. I mean, this isn't the first match, actually, that I've heard good things of him. I mean... he's had some good performances in, I think he was in last year's Champions Carnival in All Japan. And he was in the Real World Tag League as well. And from all accounts, he was doing really well in those matches.
Yeah, I mean,
and so I think he's really picked himself up.
I mean, this time last year, he was AJPW World Tag Team Champion with Kenta Miyahara. And they won't put the belt on him unless they thought he could carry it. So certainly he's a lot closer to where he needs to be and has been in the last few years.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Plus, and I think...
Okay.
I was just going to say, I think it helps being in a sort of a... I mean, it's weird to say a smaller promotion in All Japan, but realistically, at the moment it is a smaller promotion, sort of away from the spotlight a bit, where he can sort of just focus on getting back to what he knows.
Yeah, and I mean, at this stage, he's 41. He's never going to be the main event star for anyone, but he's going to be a perennial Triple Crown contender in All Japan. If he jumps to Noah, he's going to be a contender for the GHC title. I doubt New Japan will have him back because they don't really need him, but, you know, he's a handy guy to have around. He's a workhorse and he's a name.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I think, yeah, it worked for this match. So then going to this match, this was just... fantastic. You have your top guys from your arguably three main promotions. I mean, there wasn't a Dragon Gate representative here, but
and there wasn't a Noah guy,
but you get what I mean, in that,
yeah,
you've got, yeah, your big names from the Japanese scene all in one match, and I just like how they all played off each other. Like, you have the stuff at the start with the air guitar where Tanahashi gets it out, Miyahara starts, you know, steals the guitar, throws it to Sekimoto, who throws it to Yoshitatsu, who then... This bit I don't get. Why did Yoshitatsu break his tag partner's guitar?
I don't know.
Just being a dick.
Just threw it away.
Yeah. But like those little things where they obviously all know each other's stuff because they're all big stars and they're all watching each other. But they all played off each other really well. I think Miyahara looked like an absolute megastar here.
Oh, yeah. Axon looks the job. He has the gimmick and he knows what he's doing and he knows what his character's supposed to do. He's there.
Yeah, he's just absolutely fantastic. And it worked really... Like, obviously, he went sort of, you know, heelish against Tanahashi and it worked perfectly. You know, you have your brawling around the ring and then at one point, he's got a crossface on Yoshitatsu around the ring post. Tanahashi comes over and the referee is just like, I don't know, pull his hair.
That was brilliant. It was Mighty anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, he started counting him and he's like, just grab his hair, it'll be all right.
So yeah, I'm giving you permission, just do it.
Yeah, game off. Sick of this.
But I mean, a lot of this match was just sort of, it was interesting to see because it was sort of the alpha males of the big heavyweight promotions sort of sizing each other up. And so you had a lot of like pose downs. You had a lot of, you know, sort of interesting looks between them and stuff like that, where they're sort of, they're testing each other and they're like, no, I'm stronger than you. I'm not going to bump for that move. Or you got to hit me with something bigger than that. It's an interesting idea when you've got a cross promotional show like this to have your big stars sort of, obviously none of them want to look weak. And so they're not going to, you know, sell for something that looks stupid.
No.
But at the same time, they all are professional enough that they want to make each other look good.
Yeah.
And so they're all going to try their hardest to make something special. And that's what they did.
Yeah. This was just so good. This is what wrestling's supposed to be look like. Especially when you're doing cross-promotional stuff. No one buried anybody else. Everybody retreated each other with respect. They all did the fun stuff together. And they got on with it. And it was a cracking bout.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, in the end, yes, Yoshitatsu did take the pin. But it was after two shut-down German suplex holds. Which, you know, that's a lot to take. And all the other stuff in the match. So it was really good. Really, really fun. I think definitely match of the show. I think... It basically showed off the best of Japanese wrestling in one match. It was really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this probably serves the memory of Baba better than anything else they could have put together.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. It was just really good. I definitely want to see more of Miyahara. I want to watch more All Japan Pro Wrestling because of this match. Just the same way as we said we wanted to see more BJW because of Sekimoto. I think this is kind of the same kind of deal. When your ace is this good, it kind of drags the rest of the company along.
Yeah, and I thought the same thing. Like, watching this... I've seen bits and pieces of All Japan in the past. I've seen bits and pieces of Miyahara.
Yeah.
But watching this, I was like, this is definitely a guy that I want to see more regularly. I want to start following that promotion a lot more regularly just to see him.
Definitely. Right, there was also two, obviously, not memorial service, because Abdullah the Butcher is still alive and still with us and was there, in fact. And long may he still stay be alive. But there was his retirement, first of all. Abby was paid respects to by Dory Funk Jr., Stan Hansen, lots of people from All Japan Pro Wrestling, including non-All Japan guys like Keiji Muto. It was a really nice ceremony. Abby is not moving well these days. He's in a wheelchair. As you can probably imagine, for carrying that amount of weight for so long, he probably couldn't get the weight off the way he wanted to before he became less mobile. So now he's wheelchair-bound. But he seems to be in full and fit health. He's lost a lot of weight around his face. He seems pretty happy with his life. And they flew him out to Tokyo for his proper retirement, which I thought was really, really cool. Abby gets a lot of bad press for some of the things he's done in his lifetime, but there is no doubt that professional wrestling in Japan and professional wrestling in the world would not be the same without Abdullah the Butcher. Some great commentary and some great thoughts from around the world. One of my favourites was from Minoru Suzuki, who said, "Thank you, Abby." Alex, what are your thoughts on the Butcher and his retirement?
Yeah, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well there. I mean, yes, bad press aside, things wouldn't be where they are now without him. And he came in, he was one of the top stars in Japan throughout, you know, throughout the 80s especially. And in this ceremony here, you had basically, here's every top Japanese wrestling name from the 80s and 90s, all in one place, all paying their respects. You had Tiger Mask, you had Keiji Muto, you had Stan Hansen, Dory Funk Jr. was there. You had messages from Suzuki and basically everyone paying their respects, and it was really good. And there was a really emotional moment actually where they had a letter from the Destroyer that got read out.
Yes.
And you could see Abby was like on the verge of tears as this letter was being read, because I don't think he was expecting to hear from him. I don't know if they just maybe haven't spoken to each other in a long time or something like that, but it was just a really touching, nice moment to see.
For those of you who don't know, the Destroyer actually runs the Destroyer Golf Club in upstate New York, and that's where he sent his message from.
Oh, really? Okay, yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was trying to get Chelsea to go visit it to see if he was still about, and he is. He's still there. He still plays golf.
Fair enough. I wonder if he still wears the mask on the golf course.
Yeah, he does. That'd be awesome if he does. I kind of guess he'd want to keep the gimmick going, but yeah. We should also say on commentary for this show, especially in the main event, was Keiji Muto and Kenta Kobashi, obviously one of Baba's proteges in Kenta Kobashi, and the man that took over Baba's legacy at All Japan Pro Wrestling in Keiji Muto.
Yeah, definitely. And so it was cool to see them there. I mean, he also had a fun moment in the Abdullah the Butcher retirement bit where Keiji Muto comes down and he looks like he's going to just attack Abdullah. He's just sort of going a bit crazy with it because he's Keiji Muto and that's what he does. But yeah, no, they were both on commentary, as you said, and I think that was good to see them there and for them to be involved somehow. Yeah. Obviously, neither are going to be wrestling at this point. Well, Muto maybe, but neither should be wrestling at this point, I should say.
No,
And so it was nice that they got to be involved somehow.
It was interesting as well during the main event when Tanahashi pulled out of Dragon School Greg leg whip, he looked over to Muto and pulled the I love you sign.
Yes.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, and that's the sort of nice things you get where you get, obviously, all the guys stay influenced by these legends that have come before. And so it's nice for them all to be in one place and sort of you get to see the links between different guys and the sort of, right, oh, that's where he got that from. And you see the guy who invented the move right there. And it's a really cool sort of atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, Tanahashi's a third generation ace. The original blueprint was Dragon Fujinami. Keiji Muto was the natural heir to Dragon Fujinami of the Three Musketeers. And then really, it's Tana who kind of taken up that mantle of the sweet scientist with burning charisma, which you don't get very often anywhere else in pro wrestling, do you?
No, you don't.
So yeah, so that was kind of that. And of course, finally, the show closed with a memorial to Shohei Giant Baba. And all of the wrestlers on the card and all the wrestlers who appeared came down to ringside or in the ring to celebrate the life of Baba. A 10-bell count for both of them, as they both deserve and respect that honour. And it was just nice to see the show close on such a positive note because everyone was smiling and happy and saying goodbye to a legend.
Yeah, everyone had a good time. It was a fun show. You got a really good match in that main event. And yeah, it was just a nice celebration of the lives and careers of two of the biggest stars in Japanese wrestling.
What was interesting, that after the show, there was a photo that circulated that kind of put an interesting twist onto the story of King's Road. It has been noticed that the guys from BJW, the guys from Wrestle 1, the guys from NOAH, and the guys from All Japan have all been talking quite a lot lately about what they can do about keeping it a two-horse race in Japan and not letting New Japan Pro Wrestling get away with everything. They want to work together to build the King's Road style back up to prominence in Japanese wrestling, and I think that's going to be really interesting in the long term to see what those four companies can do.
Definitely. Really interesting. It makes you wonder, would that be a set of like collaborative shows like this, or would they be putting all their force behind one of those four promotions? Or
I think it's interesting because, to be honest with you, the King's Road companies are in a different place to where they were a few years ago. I mean, NOAH's trying to reinvent itself and try and get away from the Misawa legacy, which I think is a mistake. But equally, that's their company. They do what they want to do. And they are the ones that have been shipping the most water. They were quite high when they were working with New Japan 2 years ago, and they're not very high now. You know, Dragon Gate kind of does its own thing, so they're just kind of a separate deal anyway.
I mean, you've also got the sort of the rumors of WWE involvement with Noah as well.
Yeah, so that could be interesting, and they kind of need a big money investment to make things a bit more viable for them long term. BJW, we should really explain, of course, like BJW was the first split off promotion that still exists from All Japan Pro Wrestling. They split off in they were before Noah, actually, weren't they? They were the first to split off to form a deathmatch
BJW promotion. Was 97, and Noah was sort of early 2000s.
Yeah, 99, early 2000s.
Yeah.
So, well, no, it would be, 2000, actually, because Baba died in 99 and Misawa left the company 12 months later, more or less a year to the day. Mm-hmm. So, so BJW were the first to split off. Noah were the second to split off. And then Wrestle One was when Keiji Muto left All Japan Pro Wrestling and started his own company. He took half.
Yeah, that was sort of, I think, 2013. It was much more recent.
It was because then they started working with Impact, didn't they? So those companies, they've never. Let's be honest, Noah and All Japan hated each other's guts for about 10 years, but they buried the hatchet. They had a big code promotion show last year. They had they had a big debate, in-ring debate between Taiyo Kawada and Naomichi Marufuji about the entire philosophy of Kings Road Wrestling and the different styles within All Japan and Noah. So they're working together a lot better than they used to. BJW have been will work with anybody. They've been pretty open-minded about that, and it's never done them any harm. In fact, it's done them a world of good with whichever companies they work with all over Japan. Wrestle One kind of been at that same kind of attitude of like, we want to work with everybody. Keiji Muto, when he was head of All Japan Pro Wrestling, founded a movement called Wrestle Love, and the idea was you put matches together, made the best matches because people love wrestling, and people should do that more often. That's where the idea of Wrestle One came from.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such an interesting time in wrestling across the world. Obviously, you've got all the stuff going on in America at the moment with All Elite, Ring of Honor, WWE, and everyone sort of, you know, a lot of mix up on that scene with everyone getting signed up. You've got the stuff over here in the UK with NXT UK, again, All Elite, World of Sport. And then in Japan, you've got New Japan establishing itself as this sort of this huge company that's taken over the scene. But there are so many other promotions around, and it's interesting to see them now thinking, right, maybe if we work together, it will benefit the scene as a whole. It's just a really interesting time, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with it all. I think it's a good idea for them to work together. But as I said, I'm just wondering whether they will all come together as one group, or whether they'll still work separately but share the same talent or something like that. I mean, you've had with Shima's group, Strong Hearts, just basically touring every company in Japan and just turning up everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be something like that, where now you'll have an agreement between those four companies that all of their talent will be sort of semi-freelancers that will just travel between those four companies.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
It just depends on... I mean, I think it probably means bigger things for things like the Championship Carnival and the Real World Tag League and the Global Honored tournaments as well. I think it means more stuff for them, because you'll have champions and aces of people, companies swapping over. You know, and this isn't the first time this has happened. It's been happening pretty much since the end of the wrestling Cold War in Japan in about 1998, when you had Kawada go to New Japan for the G1, and Yonakiyama went to the G1 as well, and Tanahashi was actually out of contract in 2012 and actually went to the Championship Carnival because he could. It's like, never got a chance to wrestle in All Japan before, and I don't have a boss at the moment, so I'll do what the hell I like.
Well, there you go.
So yeah, so it's not the, you know, it's nice to see these things happen on a regular basis in Japan. It just depends on where the stories are trying to tell for the particular bookers in charge, and it's interesting to see where they're going to fall out. The current bookers in charge are guys like Marufuji and guys like Junakiyama and Gedo. They've all known each other for years and years and years, and they've worked together before, so it's not hard to see these companies wanting to work together. And it's not like they hate New Japan either, because New Japan's bringing eyes to wrestling generally, and that's always good for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, this is really interesting, actually. So the blocks for the Champions Carnival in All Japan got announced this morning.
Yeah.
And it's, speaking of this topic, it's really interesting to see who's there, because it is a mix of guys. You've got obviously a lot of All Japan guys in there, but you've got some Big Japan guys, you've got Dragon Gate guy, and you've got a Kadoja guy in there.
Mm, which is really interesting.
And then you've also British got Joel Redman well. From NXT.
Sorry?
You've also got Joel Redman, who
that's
used to
who
be
I was
NXT.
Thinking of. Yeah, Joel Redman, currently of All Star Wrestling and various other indies around the UK, who did have a run in NXT and famously didn't make the cut in TNA Boot Camp, which I found bizarre. Mm. But there you go. Yeah, because he's like the prototypical babyface ace of any company you'd ever want, isn't he?
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, on other Japanese wrestling news that we've been following, Cassandra Miyagi of Sendai Girls, no longer of Sendai Girls, is now Asandra Miyagi in Odeido Tai in your Stardom there. She debuted earlier this week. She's been having matches this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Any other news in Japan you can think of, Alex?
I mean, there's the potential stuff. So Hideo Itami, Kenta, has just left WWE.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if he goes back to Japan. Will we see him pop up back in Noah? Will we maybe see him go to New Japan? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe if they are doing this sort of joint promotion between All Japan, Noah, everyone, maybe he can be a big star they could get behind. I don't know.
I think that's a strong possibility. I certainly think Noah would be interested in getting him back again. But whether he wants to go there or not, would have to see. But yeah, other news, Dave Finley dislocated his shoulder last night. Hope you're better soon, Dave. Should be okay. He got it back in. He's going to get home and have some doctors see it and see if he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that pretty much covers all the Japanese news I can think of this week. And we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you do enjoy Giant Baba's Memorial Show. You can find it on streaming, and if you have New Japan World, I think the New Japan associated matches are on there, aren't they, Alex?
Yes, they are. They've uploaded about 4 or 5 matches to New Japan World, so you'll get all the sort of the main stuff that people want to see from the show. You'll be able to see on there.
Yeah, and we'll link up the less than legal version, but it's how the rest of the world's going to see it, because it was on Japanese television, so therefore we have to watch it that way.
Yeah,
we'll link that up in the Twitter conversation today. Thank you very much to my guest today, Mr. Alex Edwards. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
It has indeed. We have been listening. We've been talking about the Giant Baba Memorial Abdullah the Butcher Retirement Show. You can find Alex_Edwards_ on Twitter. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the Troopany Show at Troopany Show on Twitter. And you can find us on Facebook, The Troopany Show. You can also find us on Patreon, where you can keep The Troopany Show free forever for everyone. Apologies, last week Mike Freeland was poorly sick and could not do a show. Bless his cotton socks. We hope to have him back this Wednesday talking to Dara or Kat or Tony or Humza or anyone about pro wrestling in North America. It will be a fun listen regardless. And if you want to listen to more stuff with Mike, go listen to MLW. He's on MLW now with the FRM Front Row Material podcast with Mikey Whipwreck and Jerry Lynn. Take care. We'll speak to you soon. Have a good week. Bye.